Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
What is your sense, based on this information, of how this happened?
Look, I think everyone's being honest. We don't know. And one of the reasons we don't know is China hasn't been completely transparent with all the data, including the blood samples from the people in the Wuhan Institute who got sick early in November. We need all the data, and we need transparency, and we do need the Chinese to participate because, you know, the real issue is not how did this happen. The real issue is how do we protect ourselves from the next pandemic, and how do we have a kind of early warning system for whether it's naturally occurring or a laboratory leak.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine 96.7 FM. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the show. 813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. HMB Radio on Facebook. Follow Radio St. Pete too. Radio STPETE on just about everything. Welcome back to the program. I hope you're well. I'm more confused than ever. Every day is a struggle to try to keep some sort of sanity. I don't know how you feel about it. I think most people are just checked out. I had a nice conversation with a few friends of mine at the weekly Bad Boys Supper Club that me and a few friends do. And they just, they don't care anymore about reality. There is no truth, they say. We can't possibly know the truth. So why even search for it? It doesn't affect your day-to-day, which is very true, by the way. I do agree with the sentiment there. However, I want to at least try. I mean, we had the Enlightenment, and it kind of got us where we are today, and we're just willing to throw those things and those virtues away. I don't know. So the latest thing is the lab leak that could have potentially leaked the coronavirus and caused a shutdown of the whole world. That was kooky conspiracy talk a year ago, and even really a few weeks ago, because who of the people that were saying it that the press didn't like? They reflexively take the opposite positions of people that they don't like in government that are saying these things, even over the likes of, you know, China, for example. They reflexively take the opposite positions. Tom Cotton said a year ago that he had some intelligence, which he's on the Foreign Intelligence Committee, and as far as I know, that they couldn't discount it. Didn't say that it was, necessarily, just said that we shouldn't discount it. And press came out and said that's bunk and a conspiracy theory and this guy's crazy and racist and et cetera, et cetera. I did a podcast about it a year ago. We looked into Event 201 and some of the safety violations at this Wuhan Virology Clinic Study Center. I don't know what you call it. Institute. Some of the violations that they had before this happened. And you know, I was afraid of getting thrown offline when that happened. And I'm still a little nervous even saying it now. But I guess they're talking about it on MSNBC, so I guess I'm safe now. That clip at the beginning was Zeke Emanuel. He is the COVID advisor to President Biden. And he came out and said that, look, it's the real issue isn't how this happened. It's how we treat the next one. Because there inevitably will be a next one. So we need to figure out how to find some early detection systems. So don't really worry about what happened this time. I think they're afraid of what they might find out and the consequences that it would inevitably lead to. You know, I mean, at worst, perhaps World War III, and at best, you know, we would have to just stop doing business with China. And, you know, that's something that all our pharmaceuticals are made there. They rushed, and that was one of the things that the Chinese government said that, well, maybe we can threaten them with we won't send them their medicine anymore unless they cut the crap with this trade war. And we totally set us up. We set ourselves up. We didn't do anything. The people who are in charge, the boobs that are in charge, the DMV that's in charge of the government set us up for this stuff. Also, there's potential that the U.S. has some accountability here. Not us. The United States has some accountability here. The NIH gave $600,000 of public money to this lab in Wuhan where safety precautions were an issue. We've outsourced our medicine. We've outsourced our science. Our science is now done in labs in China. Some of that research could be gain-of-function research, which is the fooling around, tinkering around with some sort of biological organism, like a virus perhaps, and making it more easily transmissible for, I don't know, I guess there's a lot of reasons you could do it. For vaccines, I know there's purposes for vaccines, and biological warfare is also a usage. Now, Dr. Fauci says that, no, we didn't give China money for gain of research, gain of function, sorry. Well, how do you know that? Well, we know. They give us their studies. Well, how do you know that's all they're doing with that money? And there was an encounter with John Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, and Dr. Fauci. I'm going to play that for you now.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, Chairwoman. Dr. Fauci, I believe you have testified that you didn't give any money to the Wuhan lab to conduct gain-of-function research. Is that right?
That is correct.
How do you know they didn't lie to you?
Excuse me, sir?
How do you know they didn't lie to you and use the money for gain-of-function research anyway?
Well, we've seen the results of the experiments that were done and that were published, and that the viruses that they studied are on public databases now. So none of that was gain-of-function. So
how do you know they didn't do the research and not put it on their website?
There's no way of guaranteeing that, but in our experience with grantees, including Chinese grantees, which we've had interactions with for a very long period of time, they're very competent, trustworthy scientists. I'm not talking about anything else in China. I'm talking about the scientists, that you would expect that they would abide by the conditions of the grant, which they've done for the years that we've had interactions.
So you don't think the Chinese would lie to you?
Well, when you say the Chinese are a rather broad group. I know the scientists that we've dealt with have been trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. You think all the scientists have told the truth in terms of the origin of the Wuhan virus and not been influenced by the Communist Party of China, do you?
I don't have enough insight into the Communist Party in China to know the interactions right. between them and the scientists, sir.
Right. You didn't give money to the Wuhan lab to do gain-of-function research.
That is correct.
And you believe they didn't do gain-of-function research because they told you they didn't.
We've seen the results of the studies that they conducted, and they were not...
Including any private studies.
Excuse me? Including?
Any private studies.
I'm not sure what you're getting at, sir.
Here's what I'm getting at. You gave them money, and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say, and you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us. Because you never know.
Yeah,
that's a problem. We never do know, do we? We could try to find out. Sent the World Health Organization there back a few months ago. And they went, hey, can we look around and see what's up? And China said, no. They went, oh. Okay, and they went, here, talk to these guys. And they talked to a few guys that work in that lab. And they determined that, well, everything seems to be okay. And they went back and gave that report and... That seemed to work initially, and then people went, I don't think this is good enough. You need to investigate a little harder. Just before the former president left office, he had a team working on the origins, poking around to see where it came from. CNN reported last week that incoming President Biden shut down that investigation right after he took was sworn into office there. CNN reported that, got a little backlash from that. And then he said, no, we're going to double down to figure out what's going on. I'm going to have our spies work on this in the CIA and our intelligence agencies. And they got 90 days to figure this out. Okay, that's cool. What do you think they're going to say? I would bet anything, that they're going to go, no, it's just naturally occurring. And maybe that is the case. Maybe it is just a naturally occurring thing that happened, but are we going to believe that? Some people will, some people won't. It is hard to find out the truth, to know what's real. It is bizarre that he would cancel that, right? Why would you cancel that investigation? Why don't we want to know what happened? Why are journalists advocating for us? Just forget it. Don't worry about it. It happened. That's all we need to know. Well, China gives them money. Several American newspapers have reportedly received millions of dollars over the past 6 months from news agency controlled by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. China Daily paid more than $1.6 million to the Los Angeles Times, the Financial Times, Time Magazine, and Foreign Policy Magazine to run advertising campaigns, according to Justice Department disclosures, and first reported by the Washington Free Beacon. The breakdown of the $1.6 million it says follows, $700,000 to Time, $272,000 to the Los Angeles Times, $291,000 to Foreign Policy Magazine, $371,577 to the Financial Times, and also paid $1 million to major newspapers, including the Boston Globe, the Seattle Times, the LA Times, and the Chicago Tribune, to print copies of its publications. And what do those things say? Well, I would say they probably paint them in a kind light. The WHO is another organization that's been criticized for being in the pocket of China. China. So we're depending on China to do this investigation. Senator Kennedy had another good interaction with Dr. Fauci about the World Health Organization.
Can we agree that if you took President Xi Jinping and turned him upside down and shook him, the World Health Organization would fall out of his pocket?
I don't think I can answer that question, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, do you think that the President Xi Jinping has undue influence over the World Health Organization, do you?
I have no way of knowing the influence of the president of China over the WHO.
Kennedy's got that thing with the southern drawl, the fog. He's foghorn leghorn. And he's got that. I think it'll catch people off guard because for whatever reason, when people have that accent, that southern accent, they tend to think that they're stupid. And that can be an advantage for people with that accent. They can sneak up on you and bite you. So I'm sure these hearings will continue to happen. I know Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci have sparred many times, and Rand Paul wants to put Dr. Fauci under oath. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of right there with my friends at this point that we're never going to figure this out. So who cares? Don't even try. It's beyond. You can't change the world, so don't even try. But, you know, it's frustrating. 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com. Head over to the store, HMBRadio.com/store. It's only going to be there for a few months because it's expensive to host a store. They go, set up a free store. And you go, okay, that sounds cool. And then you got to pay fees for them printing, which is totally fine. But then you got to pay to have the store put up on your website. And the website takes a cut. And, you know, I've sold a few things and made 90 cents. And it costs hundreds of dollars to, host that store. So it's only going to be around probably for a few more weeks. Few more months, maybe tops, and then I'm going to take it down for the limited run of HMB Radio stuff. So I encourage you to please go get something and show your HMB Radio pride. I saw some pictures of the hats, which I was very concerned about, and they turned out great. They're awesome. So we got t-shirts, hoodies, and hats. So go get yourself something, hmbradio.com/store. And there's always a tip jar to hmbradio.com/donate. If you're enjoying the program, throw in a few bucks to the tip jar with Venmo, PayPal, Cash App, any of that stuff. It's there. Or you could just enjoy the show. Share it. That's a big thing. Share the show. Twitter, just retweet it. Boom. Hit your retweet button on Twitter. Get it out there. Let people know about it. I heard that Stitcher is not working for the podcast feed. I don't know why. I'm trying to figure that out. I can't even sign into my account. So I'm doing my best to try to reach out to Stitcher to try to get the show back on Stitcher Radio, and so far nothing from them. So I don't know. I'm working on it, man. I would say that it's everywhere else. iHeart, Spotify, you know, you can find it in a lot of other places aside from Stitcher. So, and you can always listen at hmbradio.com/listen as well. You can just push a play button and it should, you should be able to go about and do your normal stuff on your phone with that in the background. So that's a good alternative too. 813-693-2124.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
The aliens are here, Otto.
No.
They are.
I reject that premise.
They're here. Even the Pentagon.
Are they queer?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what the hell they are.
Non-binary.
There's a lot of UFO stuff going on. Now, when I was a boy, I was very fascinated with UFOs. I saw a TV show on WTOG 44 that was alien autopsy. I think it was. There was this period in the late 90s where they ran these. I think it was right around the Blair Witch Project where they had these.
I remember that because I stayed up late to watch those sorts of things where they did, like you said, an autopsy on what they thought was an alien.
Yes.
I think it was just a product of Hollywood.
It was. Yes, it was. It was not real. It was not a
12-year-old on it.
A real alien autopsy. There was also another one involving a encounter, and I can't remember what it was called, but there was... it was on WTOG Channel 44 here in Tampa Bay, and it was this raw video of supposedly this alien ship landing at some sort of property and them not being friendly aliens, and it was a found footage type thing of this family that supposedly was disappeared after an encounter with UFOs. I've always been kind of scared of UFOs, and I think it goes back to my experience with being a product of divorce and my mother not really going on many dates for a few years and wanting to see movies. So, and she had me, so she would just bring me to the movies. Mm. And she would bring me to stuff that I wanted to see. I remember going to see The Little Mermaid, you know, Lion King. But she also wanted to see movies like an adult. Day. Like Terminator 2, Judgment Day, scared the crap out of me. But I remember watching that. There was one that was called Fire in the Sky. And Fire in the Sky was about it's a true story, supposedly in quotes, about a man who was abducted by aliens in the forest of Alaska in the 1970s, I believe. Mm. And obviously Hollywood beefed it up a little bit. And there was the aliens in there were particularly traumatic for me. They were so scary looking and they were not nice. Aliens, and it was just not a film that a child of but not even a teenager yet, but a real child, like a boy, should have seen. But she wanted to see it and she didn't want to pay for a babysitter, so I had to go see it with her. Mm-hmm. Ever since then, I've been fascinated by these UFOs and aliens, but also a little afraid of them because it seems like Hollywood portrays them as not being very nice. And now we're getting confirmation that aliens are, in fact, here, supposedly.
They just said they spotted a UFO.
Well.
Which is an unidentified flying object. But these alien invasion, just unidentified.
I don't think we know that. I mean, they're saying that this is technology that human beings do not have. Now, could they be lying about that? Yeah, of course.
People lie?
Everybody wants to... Well, let's just backtrack a little bit. So there's always been these weird kooks, conspiracy theorists, et cetera, that have claimed to have seen these crafts and be abducted. And the government's always kind of said, no, that there's just kooks and idiots. And
podunk people in Alabama, Nebraska, middle of nowhere.
Right. And now, you know, this kind of broke with Blink 182. Tom DeLonge from Blink 182 had this video that he released a few years ago now of this supposed alien, or not alien, but an unidentified flying object that the Navy was tracking. And he released it to the world. And the Pentagon confirmed that this was their video and it was leaked and it was an unidentified ship that they didn't know what it was. And you go, okay, that's weird. Why didn't they just deny it? Deny. But for whatever reason, they said, yeah, okay, this thing is legit. Mm-hmm. And then there's ones, and this was on the Joe Rogan Experience, too, by the way.
Neil deGrasse Tyson? Or?
No, it was Tom DeLonge from Blink 182 and this other guy, I think. And he has this thing called To the Stars Academy where he's working on reverse engineering some of these building spaceships. I don't know. He sounds kooky a little bit, but also apparently he had this video that was real. Joe Rogan had on the pilot who filmed the video that Tom DeLonge had. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how, we see these things a lot, and this was one example, and it's pretty common, you know, with the Navy, and, you know, we just don't really think too much about it. But he went into detail about this craft and how it was unlike anything he's ever seen, and it moved fast. And then last week there was one, a similar craft to the one that was originally there, but it crashed into the water. The Navy went and checked it out, and they found that there was no wreckage. So they're assuming that it went underground. Now the Pentagon is confirming that they track things underwater that are moving at hundreds of knots, and it's beyond any sort of technology that we're aware of that human beings could build. And it just seems like it's happening awfully fast.
And wasn't there another one in Indonesia I saw?
I don't know.
Or was that the one that you were... I think that's the one you may have...
Maybe,
about.
Maybe. I don't.
I did see that that one went into the water, so it was probably the same one.
That's the... I don't know. It's just so weird. I don't know what to think. Now that the government's on board with this, saying, yeah, these things are real, now I'm like, okay, you're lying. This is a psyop. Yeah,
this no. is you. This is the government building stuff, and they go... I feel like I've listened to Joe... I can't remember who was on, but they were definitely saying that the military is doing... or the government and the military conjoined, are building things that the public is unaware of, and they're testing them out and stuff like that. And don't you think that they would be a little bit more concerned if, like, they thought that we might be on the precipice of an alien invasion? You know what I mean? The fact that they're like, yeah, we've seen these things. I feel like it would cause more concern. Like, we're looking into it. You know, we've been tracking these things, too. We're worried about, you know, the future of humanity. But it's not really garnering that sort of reaction from anybody, which makes me think that this is them. And I'm also like, it's weird because, like, listen, I'm Conspiracy Jones. I love conspiracy stuff. I love JFK stuff. I love 9/11 stuff. I love Epstein stuff. That's all fun and good. But when it comes to aliens, I'm just not buying it. And there's really no rhyme or reason. It doesn't captivate me. It doesn't fascinate me. Maybe just because I think it's all BS.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think it's real. Do I think that there's alien life? Yeah, of course. Like, I don't think we're the only life forms in the entire known universe or unknown universe. It's, you know, we can't even imagine the how large it is, because it's just, it goes on forever. It's just infinite. But I don't think that, you know, aliens are coming to visit us. It'd be cool if it happened, and, you know, but I really just don't think that is the case. So I'm almost like kind of annoyed by it.
Well, what do you think the ships are? What do you think these reports are?
I think it's the military. I think it's them working on.
But they're real things. It's not like you're denying that they have.
No, I'm not denying that what they are. Again, I'm not sure. I wasn't there. I mean, we have footage. Hopefully that's like a source that's reliable, that's not leaking something that's fake or whatnot. But given that let's just assume that what they're capturing is actually physically real. I don't think it's aliens. I think it's the military working on stuff. And it's not like everybody in the military is privy to this information. So you go, well, the Navy saw it. It's like, well, maybe like the jobber Navy saw it. But like, if you're talking like high level super security, whatever thing, like I think that they shield that from their own as well.
There's this organization called DARPA, which is their advanced research, you know, for the government or whatever. But I mean, there's got to be stuff even underneath that that's more secret.
Of course.
That's even, you know, that we don't even know about, of things that they're working on. There was this that really shook me up, and I told you about it before, and nobody was really impressed by it. But if you go on military.com, which isn't some weirdo Alex Jones website, it's the military's, you know, they talk about stuff that's happening in the military. There's, if you look up TR-3B, there's this craft, and there's a page for it. There's a Wikipedia page for it, and it says that, well, it doesn't technically exist, but it works by creating an anti-gravity field by using super-cooled mercury and nuclear power to create a force field around the ship. And then they have this grainy video of this triangular craft that's doing, you know, it seems to be just kind of floating in the air, and there's two of them, and they're, you know, moving in parallel. And this is 2013, so this is almost 10 years ago now that they had this. So and things tend to exponentially...
technology seems to exponentially get better.
Better and better, yeah. So once they have some... So I don't know. I mean, could it be reverse engineered from something they found? Could it just be human ingenuity? Humans do incredible things, so it wouldn't surprise me if it was. But, you know, I just thought it was weird that it's there. I mean, this isn't secret. You know, they do say, well, it doesn't officially exist, but here it is. And then they have all the information about how it works and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know if they're just kind of, I don't know. It's just weird that they're saying, yeah, these things exist now. And there's some sort of report that's going to be coming out in a few weeks that's some sort of briefing about, and some people think that we're going to be introduced to Gleep Glop, the alien, during this thing. And
I mean, don't you think this is just a big distraction?
Yes. Part of me does, yeah.
Occupying their times. Not that suggesting you shouldn't. Like, watch whatever. I watch trash stuff all the time. Watch people eating donuts. It just helps me relax. But I think that if people are focused on, you know, UFOs and other things like that, maybe they're less likely to worry about, the control that the government is taking over their lives, or the extra taxes that they have to pay, or whatever the case may be. I think that this is all just kind of like smoke and mirrors for us to focus on something else instead of, you know, like instead of talking trash about, you know, I don't want to get the vaccine. It's like, okay, now I'm occupied with UFOs and Area 51 and things like that. So I think that that is the intention of what is going on here.
To confuse? Now, well, the beginning of this episode, you know, if you're listening on Anna's feed, you can go back and listen to mine at hmbradio.com. You know, I was talking about COVID and the lab leak theory and how that you were a kook if you believed that a month ago, and now it's a viable theory now.
Oh, Biden's setting up a whole committee to investigate it. And
yeah,
I think we can all remember. I mean, I remember it from, you know, 6 months, say Trump was in office, but I specifically remember reading an article about how everybody was jumping down. I think it was Tom Cotton, yep, and also Mike Pompeo was saying, mm-hmm, like, listen, let's just crack the door open. This certainly is a possibility. And people were just like, I can't believe this guy's a conspiracy theorist, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward a few months, and now this is like, oh, no, we seriously actually need to investigate this because it's more likely than probable,
yeah,
that it did leak from a lab.
Well, and that's what I talked about, how press reflexively takes the opposite position of their ideological enemies. And then they end up eating crow about it, and they lose credibility. And,
but you know, like,
but yeah, they don't. And this is the argument I had, and I was talking about this too with, you know, my friends, where you get really far down the rabbit hole with stuff, because then it's like, well, we don't know the truth, and we'll never be able to find out the truth. And then these, you know, they're quoting.
So then why question anything? Like, I hate when people say that.
I do too.
I like to think about things. Doesn't mean that I'm ever going to have proof for anything in my life. But you need to flex your mind. Don't you want to be a thinking individual? And
they say yes, you know, they do. I'm going to continue to explore the world, but I can't be sure of anything. And they go, yeah, I get that. But there's also things that are just, that are factually facts, you know, that we should be able to, we should be able to agree on, you know. And I'm not talking about the mysteries of the universe. I'm talking about some jerk off in the New York Times who's, you know, calling people a conspiracy theorist for thinking that a institute where coronaviruses are held couldn't possibly have leaked it. I mean, that just would make way more sense that would be the case, wouldn't it? Where these viruses are held?
A possibility.
Yeah, I mean, but just the reflexive, you know, pullback on that. And it's like, well, can't we agree that that was very irresponsible of the paper of record who gives us our information to do that? You know, and I think they get it, but they also just move on. And it's also just like, well, I can, it doesn't affect my day to day, which, yeah.
I hate when people say that, because so many people are interested in many things that don't affect their day to day. But because they're not interested in that one thing, they dismiss it. Or because they don't want to argue it, they dismiss it. Or if they don't have a good case, they dismiss it. That happened to me a few weeks ago on the radio. This guy is like obsessed with he knows all these facts about everything. But when we started talking about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, he didn't know very much about it. I knew a little bit more, not necessarily because I'm from the region, but I just pay attention more. And so almost like in a dismissive way, he goes, well, I don't really pay attention to this. It has no bearing on my life. I'm like, okay, but like you're invested in a lot of things that have nothing to do with your daily life. But, and then he's like, well, this is depressing. And did it. I'm like, that's a different argument, yeah, whatever. Right. Like, I'm sorry that you weren't able to put, because he's a really smart guy, but, you know, I'm sorry you weren't able to put in your two cents and stuff like this, yada, yada, yada. But
that's what I was trying to get through then. It's like, well, you depend on, you know, my gripe is with news and particularly corporate press outlets who, most people depend on for their news, that I know that, you know, they're not sitting around the TV watching MSNBC and CNN. I get that, but I'm sure they browse the New York Times, you know, and they trust those outlets to tell them, and I'm trying to tell them, guys are lying to you about stuff.
Most
and,
people, I don't think, are getting it directly from the source. I think most people are getting it from social media where it's shared by somebody that they follow.
I mean, still, but where are they getting it from? And it's, it all comes back to...
But what I'm saying is most people don't even have the ambition to go and, like, look actively for the news. They're more passive witnesses to the news, if that makes sense. Like, that's how uninterested and how unambitious people are when it comes to learning new things, is that they're probably not even the one even extracting the article. It just happens to show up on their feed because their friend, like, retweeted it or something like that. And then they have, or a celebrity retweets it. Chrissy Teigen, our favorite. Maybe she retweeted something. And then millions of people are now looking at that article, and they would have never gone to the New York Times to go see it.
True. True. Yeah. But she's, you know, she's dissecting that. So, somebody's always getting information from somewhere and then distributing it. So while they may not be getting it from the source, somebody's getting it from those sources, I think, overwhelmingly. And then there's the other side of that coin where it's just kooks on, you know, getting stuff from memes. You know, boomer memes or TikTok is another. It is really hard to figure out what the hell is going on in the world. I mean, TikTok, I think, is one of the biggest displayers of disinformation that there is. And people get their news from that. It's shocking. And then you try to tell them, no, that's not true. And then they try to kill you afterwards, after they tell you that that's not true, because how dare you, because they have access to some sort of truth that you don't have, and you're too stupid to get because you're not on TikTok.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I've had issues with many members of my own family where they exist in echo chambers, and they hear the same talking points over and over and over and over again. And when you do that, I mean, it's fun when you're talking with someone that agrees with you. I like discussing things with you because we're mostly, I would say, probably like 95% of the time in agreement on stuff. But when you really are challenged, that's really when you have to grow, and when you really have to come to battle with good ideas. And usually when that happens, like I told you, I've got hung up on by a cousin, I've got yelled at by another cousin, and my sister hung up on me recently because you ask them to provide one example of something and they can't do it. And then they are just like, are you insane? Or like, are, you know, are you racist? What's wrong with you? I'm like, can you just give me an example of Trump doing X, Y, or Z? And they can't even pull one, you know? And then they just get upset. They get defensive and they say things like, oh, well, there's so many, or, you know, I can't believe you. Or like, I can't even believe we're having this conversation. I'm not doing this. I'm not engaging. This is in whatever. That's how they get out of the argument, is by dismissing it instead of, you know, coming calmly and discussing ideas. It's never about ideas. It's always about egos.
But so, there's approved conversation, and there's the stuff that you can't talk about, and they encourage you not to talk about it. And that tends to come from, you know, some sort of corporate press outlet where they tell you what is and what isn't, you know? So they'll, like, for example, you know, the game of social media, it's like, well, they kicked, you know, they'll start with Nazis and they kick Nazis off a platform. So then the Nazis go to some alternative platform like Gab or Parler, for example. That was one that was in there. But then they start to move the line along, the window along, and they start kicking more and more people off. Then it's people don't use, you know, trans pronouns or dead name people, and they get thrown off of some sort of social media platform. And then it's people who support former President Trump. The president gets kicked off of Twitter. Now, he hasn't joined another platform, but then those people who got kicked off go to Gab or Parler, you know, these other platforms, and then the narrative becomes they're all Nazi because they just all group together. So these people are all weirdos and freaks, and then it becomes, you know, the only these approved this voices. Frame is the only ones that can kind of speak, and if you are not in that, then you're a weirdo, Nazi, freak, whatever. You know, so they make these people. They don't really exist. They're made in the minds of people.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. It is really sad that people don't want to, they don't want to hear other ideas. Like, I think you and I both have like a pretty, we both have a growth mindset, which I like. Like, I just want to know the truth, you know, whatever it is. If I'm made to be wrong, I'll be honest. You know, I've said this before, and it's like it's a half truth and also a half lie where I'm like, oh, I don't care if I'm wrong. I just want to know the truth. Yeah, I'd like to be right in an argument. If I'm, you know, if I'm coming to battle with ideas and I think that I'm right, I would like to win the argument, and I'd like to convince. Usually I'm saying it into a microphone with a live audience. So obviously I want to, you know, persuade the mind of the audience that I won the argument and that I indeed am right. But sometimes you're not. And when you're not, it allows you to kind of go back and either do more research yourself, read more, learn more, or get your like arsenal back up so that you actually have like better examples, or, you know, just that you can provide a better case for what you're arguing. But I think that those are the moments when you grow and you learn and you go, listen, I changed my mind. I always mention this all the time, but, you know, I've changed my mind on, I don't want to say a lot of things, on a few things, but I would say the biggest one was abortion. You know, out of college, I remember I took a biomedical ethics class that was very influential in my life, because in a good way, even though it was, you know, a bunch of liberal Jews were the ones that were teaching it, which it's fine. But they like kind of taught you how to argue properly, even if I didn't agree with the like their conclusions. They at least like set you up. It's like premise, conclusion. If this is true and that is true, then this must be true. Like those sorts of things. So it kind of helped me with like the structure of like how to argue properly. But coming out of that class, I was pretty much just told that abortion is okay because it's the will of the woman. And although they said it was indecent, but it wasn't immoral. So it's not a nice thing to do. I remember they made like some sort of comparison to like not holding the door open for someone. It's not wrong to not open the door, but it's not nice if you don't open the door.
Yeah.
And that was the analogy they made to murdering a fetus, which is interesting. But as I got older, it became apparent that like it left untouched, that fetus would grow into a human person.
Yeah.
And if you murder someone postnatally, then you go to jail. So, you know, if so facto, I think abortion is wrong, but I feel like I'm one of the few people where if I got pregnant tomorrow, I would have an abortion. Mm-hmm. Knowing it's wrong, people are like, well, how do you deal with that cognitive dissonance? And I just say, because I'm an a-hole, I don't know how to explain.
You're
a
human being, yeah.
Yeah, I know it's wrong, but how many times do we do things we know are wrong, we do them anyways? Like, people have a hard time grappling with that when it comes to morality. You know, people are more than happy to say, listen, I shouldn't drink tonight because I have work tomorrow, but I'm going to do it anyways and just suffer the consequences. But when it becomes like a moral thing, saying, I know abortions are wrong, but I would have one anyways because it would ruin my life if I had a kid. People have a hard time kind of making those, what's the word I'm saying? Like admitting that those sorts of things.
Yeah. Yeah, it is tough. And we talked about that last night, too, of these contradictions that live within ourselves and trying to figure it out. And there's a lot of human computing, brain power that is doesn't match up. It's not a perfect computer, because we tend to get our feelings and emotions into these things, and it can sway, you know, logic. So I don't know. It's hard to figure out. Anyway, so you don't think there's aliens?
No.
No aliens. I think there's aliens. No, I don't. I don't know what to believe.
As of right now, I don't feel like there's enough evidence for me to be like, there's aliens. I think it's a little too far-fetched at this point. I'm open. I would love for there to be aliens. I think that'd be a fun thing to discuss at brunch.
Would that shake you? You're an atheist. Would that shake make you think anything else?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
No, not at all. I mean, that's not giving me any, that's no evidence for God.
Right. You
know, that's just other life forms. Like, no big deal. That's perfect.
What if they had something? What if an alien was like, no, I actually have a book. Here's our book.
Bible?
Yeah.
I'd be happy to read it if I could decipher it. You know, I'm more than happy to learn, but I don't think I...
I'm just waiting for Joe Biden to rip off that mask, and he's Gleep Glop.
Who's Gleep Glop?
Gleep Glop's the alien.
Oh.
The alien that's going to come... And he's like, hey, Jack, I'm going to raise your taxes. Gleep Glop. And then we're like, okay, well, that's just the way it is. There is no truth. Gleep Glop is the best we got. All right, folks, that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSt.Pete.com. If you're listening there at Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. Give it a 5-star rating on iTunes. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man. Check out hmbradio.com. My name is Will Kuntz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Bye-bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.